Welcome to Becoming Limitless. This is the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to optimize their brain and their body with biohacking. I'm going to teach you how to eliminate brain fog and upgrade your health so you can have more productivity, energy, and growth in your business. I'm your host, Tanessa Shears. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the Becoming Limitless podcast. How has your week been? I hope it has been going great. Things are good here. We're settling into life back in Vancouver after we were in Panama for 2 months. And I gotta say, I'm already missing the sun. We've got the travel bug. We are already planning our next trip, which is going to be a month on Vancouver Island in September. And then we're gonna be going somewhere really warm for January next year. I just feel like with me and my husband, we are always planning what is coming next. We are setting big visions. We are getting really clear on what we want and the path that we are going to have to take to get there. And so that's kind of what's going on in our world right now. We are just refining our goal setting, our strategizing, and looking ahead what our life is going to look like. And so that's kind of what's been going on here. And I hope things have been going well for you too. Now, this episode is going to be a good one. It is perfect for you if you are too stressed out to sleep. And specifically, I'm going to be teaching you how I quiet my noisy brain before bed. You know what I'm talking about. When you're trying to wind down at night, maybe it's been a busy day or maybe even it hasn't, but you've got a lot going on in your brain and your mind is racing. You're reviewing things you said that day, things you had to do, things you didn't get done, things you got to get done tomorrow, meetings you have, all of this kind of stuff that you have to get done. And you're trying to fall asleep, but you can't. And your brain is just chattering and it is noisy and you would just give anything to fall asleep, and it can take you 30 minutes, 45 minutes, even like an hour or longer to finally nod off. And this is so frustrating, especially if we are in a stage of our life where we don't have the amount of time we would love for sleep anyways. And all of this can really feed into a sense of sleep anxiety. I worked with a client this year, I guess it would be last year now, and when we started, she took about an hour to an hour and a half to fall asleep every night when we started. But I want to let you know that there is hope for this. By the time we wrapped up our 6 months of coaching together, she was easily falling asleep in like 20 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. And a lot of that has to do with how we look at our brains and the environment before bed. And that's what I want for you is not to have to experience this stress of counting down hours until you wake up. See, you know what I mean, right? Where you're laying there and you're like, it's 11 o'clock. I have to wake up at 6. If I fall asleep right now, I'll get 7 hours of sleep. And then you lay there and it's midnight. You're like, okay, now if I fall asleep right now and I wake up at 6, that's 6 hours. And you get this sleep anxiety, right? Like, there's nothing worse than being too overwhelmed or too stressed out to be able to quiet your brain at night so you can finally nod off, right? And so this is what we're talking about on today's episode. I'm going to be giving you my hints to help you solve this, because I want you to get good sleep. Because good sleep means higher performance in your business. It means less brain fog. It means more energy. It means more productivity, more clarity. And not only that, like for me, when I get good sleep, I like who I am a lot better. I'm a lot more patient. I'm less irritable. I'm a better mom. I like to play more. Like, I'm less tired all the time. Like, I don't like to be the person who feels drained and too tired to do things, right? I want to have the energy for that. And so sleep is important to me, right? And that's why I really cultivated this skill of quieting a noisy brain so that I can fall asleep when I want to get to sleep, right? And so we're going to be talking about three different things that I have seen over the year cause it with clients, and things that I've also experienced myself. And then I'm going to walk you through some simple solutions and strategies that you can try right now. You could literally implement them tonight and help you fall asleep. Now, I do want to preface this by saying that consistency matters more than anything, and not just consistency in applying the hacks and strategies I'm going to be teaching you today, but consistency in your bedtime. Now, our whole body is governed by a clock called your circadian rhythm, right? And it tells us when to feel alert and when to feel sleepy and when to release certain hormones and when to pull back on certain hormones. So if our circadian rhythm is thrown off by us staying up late on weekends and going to bed early on the weekdays, that is going to contribute in a huge way to you not being able to fall asleep on time. So let's say you're going to bed at 9:30 or 10 on we'll call them work nights, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, but then on the weekend, you're staying up 2 or 3 hours later, you're essentially giving your body the experience of jet lag. And that's called social jet lag, because your social schedule is giving your body the experience of jet lag. It's that fogginess, it's that inability to fall asleep, it's the fatigue, it's literally like getting on a plane and traveling to a 3 hour different time zone or a 2 hour different time zone, and then flying back the next day and wondering why our bodies just won't fall asleep. So I will preface this by saying, if you are having trouble falling asleep, your brain is noisy, you are feeling overwhelmed, the first thing I would always address is, are we going to sleep at a consistent time throughout the week? Now, I don't mean 9:30 on the dot, 10:30 on the dot. I mean, give yourself a window. In general, I'm asleep anywhere between, I would say, 8:30 and 9:30. Most nights it's in that 8:30 to 9 range, but that's the time that I choose to sleep. Your time can be completely dependent on your schedule and unique to you. But I think it's important to recognize that that consistency of sleep does so much for making us feel healthy and alive and energetic, right? And there are so many things that we sacrifice sleep with, like TV and scrolling on Instagram, things that don't just contribute to our life, but not only that, they take away from our energy the next day. So if you are listening to this, the first thing you need to do is pick a window bedtime and honor it at least 6 nights per week. 7 would be best. Obviously, there's going to be nights where you're going to have family events or dinner or social events, but you're wanting to try to honor this as much as possible, because this is where if you were my client right now and we're working together in my program, this is where I would start with you, as I would start looking at your bedtime rhythms. Once you have that, and you're being consistent, relatively consistent, within an hour window of your bedtimes, and you're going to bed on time, then I would start to look at one of these three reasons we're going to cover as to why our brains are so noisy and why we are too stressed to sleep. And like I said, in having worked with hundreds of clients and also in experience on myself, it's usually that trouble falling asleep is because of one of three reasons. And we're going to get into deep to these, but I'm just going to give you a quick overview. Number one is what I call a workaholic mentality, meaning we cannot let go of our work. We are working late. We are thinking about work, all of that kind of stuff. So workaholic mentality. The second one is because our thoughts are overwhelming and they are racing, and we can't quiet our brain. We're trying to fall asleep, but our brain is just thinking about everything, right? You didn't do enough today. Ideas, plans for the business, worrying about your kids. Maybe you have a medical test that you're thinking about and you're worried about, or results coming back, like all of these type of things. Like, I had a client who would worry that something had gone wrong in her business overnight and would be checking into her business on her Slack like at 11:30 at night, midnight, right? Like the inability to quiet your brain when it's time for you and not to be a CEO, but to be you, right? And the third insight I'm going to be giving you as to what causes this racing brain is high stress levels, right? And remember, stress does not have to just be emotional stress. It can be psychological stress. It can be physical stress from like overworking your body. It can be from eating and drinking. Like, lots of things cause stress on the body. We're going to be focusing a lot on emotional stress today, because I know that that's the one that I help clients with most often. But we're looking at, like I said, workaholic mentality, racing thoughts, and stress. Those are the things that are causing us to not be able to fall asleep as quickly and as easily as we'd like. You know, those, we don't want to be staying up. So the big problem with this is, if we are not able to fall asleep, here's what I see happen, unfortunately. We are up late. We get frustrated. We're not going to sleep anyway. So what do? We grab our phones off our night table and we distract ourselves until we can fall asleep. This might be with YouTube. It might be with Instagram. It might be TikTok. It might even be checking into emails and working again. But by re-engaging in this, it actually perpetuates this issue of not being able to fall asleep. Like, even if you can pass out watching Instagram videos or YouTube videos or any type of distraction like that, your brain has now been re-engaged back in information about processing decisions and all of this. And not to mention, the blue light that is coming off of your screens is directly telling your brain to suppress a hormone called melatonin that actually helps you sleep better. And so you end up in this place of just like getting poor quality sleep, and it's taking you longer to fall asleep, and the light is affecting your brain's ability to dream, which if you've listened to much of my content before, you know I think of dreaming as entrepreneurial gold, right? It helps you manage your emotions. It helps you read facial expressions and body gestures better. It helps you be more creative. It helps you problem solve. Like, there are so many reasons we need high quality sleep as entrepreneurs, because it affects our business, right? And so when we are now so frustrated with not being able to sleep because of a busy brain, so we distract ourselves with scrolling or YouTube or Netflix or whatever it is, this all just keeps compounding into an inability to really allow ourselves to rest, both while we sleep and before we sleep. So we're going to go through each of those three reasons that I talked about, and I'm going to give you exactly how I would coach you if you were my client and what you can do to improve this, in hopes that you can take some of this and apply it. Now, what I don't want you to do is hear all of this information I'm going to be sharing with you and be like, excellent, I'm going to apply it all and it's all going to work. I really want you to just pick one or two strategies I'm going to be giving you today, and I want you to consistently apply them for a week. And I want you to apply them for that week, because I want you to be able to determine, no, that didn't work for me, or yes, that did work for me, so that you can then be like, okay, is this something I want to continue working on, but I'm going to tweak, or do I need to go back to this episode and get a new strategy? Because if you kind of implement them all at once, you'll have like 30 different health habits, you'll be completely overwhelmed, and then you'll be like, nothing works, or I don't know what works, so I have to continue it all. I really think of it like a buffet. Come in, get a strategy, apply it. Give it a week, test it out, ask if there's something you could tweak on it to make it better or simpler or easier, and then come back and get another one if you want to layer on, okay? So let's jump into it. The first issue was that workaholic mentality, and specifically how that shows up is working late at night. And we often have this feeling like that we need to work late at night. Sometimes it's to get ahead, because, you know, we like to tell ourselves, if I could just get ahead, if I could just finish this project, if I could just get through this busy period, then I will have time to relax. Then I will have time to wind down. Like, we've all said that to ourselves, right? We have this whole when-then fallacy. When this happens, then I'll do this, right? And we end up sacrificing our sleep because we believe that life is suddenly going to feel better or be less busy or be less stressful when we accomplish this. But I mean, we all know that that doesn't happen. How many times have you gotten to the end of a big project and another project is just queued up and waiting for you, right? So we really need to kind of watch this mentality around thinking that doing more now will make you feel better later. Because if that were true, all of the stuff you have done in the past should have made you feel better by now, right? So really having to check your mindset on that. Sometimes we stay up late working at night to meet deadlines or to catch up on work we got behind on in the day. I have a client, and back when we started, what would happen is during the day, he would feel so tired and his energy would be so low in the afternoon that he would only be able to get to basic and min tasks, you know, the type that are like, I'd save emails for that time of day, or I save like stuff that doesn't involve my brain. Well, he would actually be saving all that stuff for that time, not do productive work during that time. Everything would take longer because he was tired and he was feeling foggy. And then what would happen was he would get behind because he didn't get as much done as he wanted to. And so he would log back in after the kids went to bed and start working again. And this was a pattern I could see after looking at his Oura Ring data. And it was just having to have this mindset check of like, we have to check why our brains are so foggy during the day that we can't work to our capacity, and it's causing this late night work, right? And honestly, you might even be up late working at night because you enjoy it. Like, I've had a lot of clients be like, no, I love my business. But at the same time, in their lives, they are feeling so exhausted and drained and unhealthy, and they don't love how they feel in their bodies anymore, and they're stressed out all the time. So we have to have this conversation. Where is that balance between loving our work and taking care of ourselves? Like, for me, this is my opinion, I did not start a business to work all the time. I started a business, even though I love it, I started a business to create a lifestyle around things I love, not have the thing I love be my life, right? Because I want to have other stuff in there. I want to travel. I want to have downtime. I want to spend time with the family, all of that kind of stuff. So this is kind of a problem that I have seen, is this, I don't know if this is resonating with you right now, this just, I love to work, or that like, I need to catch up, I need to get a little extra done, I'm just going to get to my emails after dinner, that workaholic mentality. So when I have talked with clients on this before, here's a couple things that we've talked about. If you are logging back on to work to catch up on stuff because you are running behind and a deadline is coming up. I always like to have a conversation with myself on deadlines because as entrepreneurs, for the most part, the deadlines we set for ourselves are completely arbitrary. For the most part, we get to decide when we launch. We get to decide when our content goes out. We get to decide how fast our turnaround is for client work product or whatever it is, right? Like we get to decide all of that. So have you ever actually questioned why I give myself such a short deadline? Now, when I used to do like live email launches all of the time, like when I, you know, open up spots for Becoming Limitless or whatever this is, what I used to do was do all of the emails the week before or the week of as they were going live. And I always felt like this stress and this tension. And I was always like, oh my gosh, am I going to finish the emails in time? Like the deadlines were so tight. So what I started doing was actually writing all of my launch content a month to 2 months in advance. Like, do you know how nice that feels? Having all of that buffer room? Like if you are the one that gets to decide when the deadlines are for much of the stuff in your business, ask yourself, why am I making the deadline so tight that I have to work at 11 p.m. at night in order to get my work done, right? Because it is very hard to unwind your brain from work and go directly to sleep. I actually have a client, had a client in the past, and I was able to look at her Oura Ring data every week before our session, and I could tell on what nights she worked past her work deadline. So she would give herself a work deadline of, you know, everything has to be shut down by 7 p.m. And I could tell the nights that she worked late because I would look and I would see her bedtime would be an hour to 2 hours later. And it wasn't because she was still working. It was just because her brain was still so engaged in work mode. She was still coming up with ideas and strategies and content and all of this stuff. And her brain had not had time to transition into sleep. And so it's not always the actual act of work that is keeping you up late. Sometimes it is your brain's ability to wind down. You just didn't give it that, right? So in relation to arbitrary deadlines, the deadlines we set for ourselves and questioning that, the other thing I might look at you or might look at my business, your business and ask is, what are the expectations you have set for your clients or your customers or your team, right? Do they have the expectation that they will be hearing from you at 9 p.m. at night, 10 p.m. at night, 11 p.m. at night? Do your customers expect to hear from you at 9 p.m. at night, 10 p.m. at night, 11 p.m. at night? And so one of the things, if you ever work with me in one of my programs, one of the things you'll hear right off the bat is I will tell you, here is when you can hear from me and here is when you won't. And that currently at this time looks like I will respond to you from Sundays to Thursdays and I will check in at least once a day. And so you can expect a response within 24 to 48 hours, usually closer to 24 hours. And I am very clear on that because not only does it allow my brain to be like, okay, they know it's Friday. I don't answer messages on Friday. I don't have to worry about that. But they also know that, you know, they can message me and when they will get a response back. So they're not sitting there being like, it's been 3 days. What is the expectation? Or it's been 10 minutes. Why haven't they messaged me back? Right? So I really want to be clear with my customers and my clients and set that not only for them as a good experience for them, but for me as well. So in your business, are there people on your team or are there customers that expect to hear from you at all hours of the night, which is keeping you glued in, right? Which is this not allowing your brain to turn off, right? So this is something I would check. Another thing that you can look at if you struggle with the work deadline thing is really understanding when to say no. Like when is enough enough? One of the favorite things that I like to say is when, you know, people come and they're like, hey, do you want to do this collaboration? Would you like to do on this podcast interview? Would you like to do this program? One of the things I like to say is, you know what? My plate is actually as full as I'd like it right now. I'm not taking on anything else new. And so I know for me that if the work that I am doing does not fit in the boundaries that I have given myself to work during the day, it's too much. And saying yes to it doesn't just add to my work. It always comes at the sacrifice of something else. And it's usually my health, my sleep, my energy, my time with my family. And that's just something I'm not willing to tolerate. And so that kind of goes hand in hand with setting work boundaries. And I'm very clear on my boundaries and they are seasonally changing all the time. Right now I am in a season of working Sundays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays with, you know, quick check-ins with clients on Mondays and Tuesdays. But I'm in that season right now of if I take on a project and it asks of me to work outside of those days because I need more time to get it done, that is just a boundary at this point in my life, I'm not willing to cross. So I answered that question for myself, like when is enough enough? And I want the bandwidth for my life and my health to be protected. And so this is something I'm always readjusting, is being clear on what my boundaries are with my work. And so I know when I am overworking, it's very clear that I'm working outside the hours designated for work. Now, this doesn't mean that once in a while something doesn't come along last minute that I need to go in and, like, you know, edit a link or put up a post because I forgot to do something. I mean, this is a consistent underlying theme for how I run my business, is it is all about boundaries, expectations, and setting my own deadlines. And I think we really forget that. Sometimes as the CEOs, we forget how much control we wanted to have in our business, right? And really looking into asking small questions like, how can I take back this? How can I set an expectation in this so that I can have that separation and that boundary? Because if we are working till 10, 11, midnight, right? And that is not something we want to do because we want to prioritize our sleep. Like, the belief that really has to shift is that sacrificing your sleep does not make you more productive. We think it does. Like, I can get an extra hour of work done. But at the end of the day, like, if you are taking 8 hours to do what would take you 6 tomorrow because you're foggy and you're tired and you can only save, you know, brain dead admin tasks for the afternoon because you're so worn out, like, this is something we need to actually consider, that sleep actually gives you productivity, right? The negative effects of not getting enough sleep are like cognitive decline. Like, your brain doesn't actually work. Your decision making is poor. And this could have serious financial consequences if you're making big decisions, right? Overall health, so many things. So if you are struggling with overworking, staying up late to work, and then not giving your brain enough time to actually be able to fully transition into sleep, these are all different hacks and strategies that I have used to really help allow myself some separation from work so that I can take care of my brain and my health. Now, let's go on to the second one, which is really common: overwhelm and racing thoughts. You try to go to bed, maybe you have work boundaries, you honor those, and when you go to lay down, your brain just won't, for lack of a better term, shut up. It's just chattering away, right? And it could be saying things like, you didn't get enough done today, or maybe it's coming up with all these ideas now. Your brain's starting to get really active, all these ideas for your business or plans, or maybe you're just in a perpetual state of worrying, right? You're worrying about your kids. Maybe you're worrying about a health result that's coming in, or you're worried about a family member. Like, there's so many things our brains like to fixate on at this time of night, right? But the first thing I really want you to understand is that the brain doesn't turn off, right, and go to sleep like a light. Like, we think like, okay, I'm done with that. Turn off my brain, go to sleep, right? We fall asleep, and it's a gradual process. And the process I like to compare this to is if you were on a highway, right? And you're on the fastest road, the freeway. You're on the freeway and you're going really fast in your car. This is the equivalent to how our brains like to think during our business day, right? We're human doings. We're doing all these things all day. We're going so fast. Our brains are going fast. And then naturally, when you get off the freeway, what happens? You get off the off-ramp and get onto a smaller highway. You're still going quick, but it's slower. And then maybe you turn off into your residential neighborhood, and then you pull up in front of your house, and then you pull into the driveway. Like, as you do this, you can sense the car is slowing down. You back into the driveway, you pull into the garage, and you stop. Do you see how that was a gradual process? That's how your brain is supposed to fall asleep, a nice gradual process like that. But we do it as the equivalent of being on the freeway and your garage or your driveway is at the end of the freeway. And you're just hoping that when you get there, you can stop. But it never works like that, right? We have to learn this process of slowing down. And our brains actually go through a slowing down process where they shift the speed of your brain waves. So while you're listening to this right now, you might be driving, you might be on a walk, you might be doing dishes. I like to listen to podcasts while I am folding laundry. Hey, I've got a question for you. Have you found this podcast helpful? Has it helped you improve your sleep, have more energy, upgrade your health? If it has, would you please consider leaving a 5-star review? It'll only take you 10 seconds. I'd really appreciate it, and it could change someone else's life too. Now, imagine this. Your brainwave is in a state called beta right now. You are hearing what I'm saying. You are thinking about what I'm saying. You're wondering if I should apply this. Does this apply to me? What do I have to do tomorrow? Your brain is thinking right now. So your brainwaves are in a state called beta. Now, your brains need to slow down through a series of phases. And the next slowdown is in a phase called alpha. Now, alpha is associated with that feeling of calm and relaxed, meaning the brainwave speed has slowed down and your feeling associated with it has calmed down as well. We need to get into this state before we then shift into a state called theta. Now, theta is a really cool one because it's kind of like that falling asleep feeling. It's between awake and calm, right? It's kind of like maybe a meditative state. You know those times where you drive your car and you realize that you have been driving and you didn't remember how you got there, that kind of autopilot state? That is theta. And it is heading into that dreamlike state. And then lastly, there is delta waves, which are nice, slow brain waves that we associate with deep sleep, right? So your brain actually needs to go through those phases. And it is a slowing down the same way if your car was going fast on the freeway, it needs to slow down. Now, if we are going from being a human doing, aka driving on the freeway, to in the garage, asleep, we need to put some transition time in there, right? And so I've got some solutions I'm going to give to you that I've used on myself and with clients as well. Number one, if your brain is really active, like do a brain dump. Get a notebook, a piece of paper, and write down everything that is in your brain. All you can put a column for to-dos, you can put a column for thoughts, you can put a column for worries, whatever it is. Get everything out of your brain. Sometimes I feel like our brains like to circle on these ideas because they're so worried about forgetting them, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, I have to remember to do this. I have to remember to do this. What about this? Did I call this person back? All of this. Like our brains, the brain job of our brain is not to store information. It is to create and problem solve. Did you hear that? The job of your brain is not to store useless information and to-dos. The job of your brain is to create and problem solve and be a parent, be an entrepreneur, and those other things. So brain dump, get everything out of your head if your brain is busy. Sometimes I generally just feel like our brain is like, if we go to sleep, we're going to forget all this. We should think about it over and over again, right? So I really like to get everything out if my brain is super chattery. The next thing that I'm going to share as a solution is something that I learned when I did cognitive behavioral therapy. So if you've heard much of my story, in 2015, I ended up doing an outpatient program at the hospital for generalized anxiety disorder because it was at that time I had trouble leaving the house. I was very anxious all the time. It consumed me. It affected my sleep. It affected my relationships, right? And so I began at that point to start learning through cognitive behavioral therapy different strategies on dealing with these types of thoughts. Now, one of the things that really helped me was learning how to challenge negative thoughts. Because if we start listening into our brain and even writing out the sentences, you're going to see it's the thinking that we're doing before bed is never positive. It's negative. It's very overwhelming, right? It's negative thinking. And so I always like to challenge, is this actually true? Is what I'm thinking actually true? And so I'll give you actually a client example. I had a client that I was working with and her brain would race at night. And I said, hey, well, what are you thinking about? She's like, I'm honestly just laying in bed shaming myself about all the stuff that I didn't get done that day. I should have gotten this done. I wasn't productive enough. I procrastinated on this. And I always love to ask, like, is this actually true? And I said to her, I was like, okay, so you're not getting enough done during the day, says your brain. Well, what was enough done? Like, did you define what enough even was? Or did you start the day with a 100 item to-do list and start working off the top and get 6 things off and then look at the other 94 things and be like, oh yeah, I didn't get enough done today. Of course, right? If your brain's expectation is to get that list done, you're never going to feel like you've done enough. So asking yourself, like, am I setting reasonable expectations? And what is actually enough? So in her case, I asked her to start each day defining exactly what she intended to get done that day. And was it realistic given the time she had to work on it? And she was really soon able to see like, oh, huh, I was trying to fit 9 hours of stuff into 3 hours. No wonder I felt like I got not enough done. And so I love this idea. That's where in my program, Becoming Limitless, I introduce this concept of time blocking. So we really understand how to use our time effectively, right? So challenge your thoughts. Is this actually true? Why am I thinking this? Where did this thought come from? What else could be true? And so challenging those thoughts. Another thing that I really like in the kind of cognitive behavioral therapy realm is picturing a very serene place in your mind, like allowing your brain to experience the visual of calm, because our brains don't know what is an actual experience versus an imagined experience. And so two places that I love is one, when I was about 10 minutes into the polar bear plunge on January 1st of this year, we like to jump in a freezing Canadian lake every year. I like to picture, I remember just looking out at the lake and the water was still. And there was like clouds and fog just settled in on the water. And the sun was shining through the trees. And my body was just electrified because it's freezing water. And I remember just feeling so alive and calm in that moment at the same point. And so I like to put myself in that situation. And then another one that I like to go to is there was a morning that I spent on the beach in Nueva Gorgona in Panama. And just listening to the waves coming in, like hear the waves, feeling the sand in my fingers, feeling the sun come up, and that feeling of just having finished a really good workout. Like there are all of these things, these moments that I just like to go back to and put my body into senses, using what do I smell, what do I hear, what do I see, what am I touching, what am I tasting, right? Allow your brain to experience something calmer and kind of as a redirect. So this is another thing that I do. The last thing I do for a really busy brain at night is I establish a pre-sleep ritual that includes activities that actually help me transition from work mode to rest mode. So remember I said you need to have that time to slow down the car, slow down the brain, right? So things I like to do in this is, well, at the end of when I'm transitioning out of work mode, I like to review the accomplishments for the day. What did I actually achieve today? How cool is that that I got through all that? Good job, me, you know? Maybe I'm jotting down the things I want to get done tomorrow, like what will be enough for tomorrow. Maybe I'm expressing gratitude. Maybe I take a warm shower. Like what is it that you can do that you can put as a transition in between work and rest that signals to your brain it is time to wind down? I've had a client that has had great success with doing a 10-minute meditation during that time, meaning it is a meditation to transfer his energy into that new state. So really easy once you start getting this kind of stuff, like understanding that there are so many different ways, but it has to be the effort has to be put in. It has to be something that it becomes a habit and something you make time for and maybe something you set an alarm for on your phone to begin with. But these are all different ways that I slow down my brain, either by challenging my thoughts and really digging into the truth of them with cognitive behavioral therapy, meaning my visualization, or establishing a pre-sleep ritual to help me transition. What is that trigger that reminds my brain, oh, it's time to slow the car down. We're heading into the neighborhood. We're not on the freeway anymore, right? So the very last thing we're going to talk about, so we've talked about, you know, work becoming an issue for falling asleep, overwhelm and racing thoughts, and then there's just high stress levels in general. And so how I differentiate these is high stress levels may not come with the racing thoughts, but it's just your heart is beating faster than normal and your body feels cortisol-y and fight or flighty. Even though your brain is quiet, your body is in a state of stress and it does not allow you to wind down properly. It does not allow you to fall asleep. So that's how I'm differentiating these. You might have stress and racing thoughts, or just stress or just racing thoughts. So you can use like a combination of the tools that I'm giving you here. So with high stress, it's so obviously normal in entrepreneurship. I feel like we kind of signed up for more stress than the average person when we take on entrepreneurship, but we're facing constant demands, right? Demands on our time, demands from our business. It's nonstop stress, right? There'll be something, a link that breaks, an email that goes out that wasn't supposed to go out, or, you know, you didn't serve the client the way they expected and they're upset with it. Like there's always going to be things that are going to set you off fight or flight, right? That's a lot why I talk about building capacity and resilience for stress, because eliminating stress, in entrepreneurship isn't, I don't think it should be the goal to eliminate stress. I think it is part of it. I think it is our ability to be resilient and react to it, which is what needs some of the work, right? Like I have, I had a client that I was working with and her body was under constant fight or flight. There was constant pressure with making really big decisions. You might be under pressure with making financial moves or making enough money right now. Like you know, maybe there's a low season in your business, or you're deciding whether you have to sell or let go of an employee, or do you need to bring on employees? Like, there are lots of things that can create stress, right? And the solution in this is to develop techniques that you can use both in real time and, you know, at the end of your day to help unwind, and especially before bedtime, right? So there are mindfulness practices that you can use. Obviously, we know a lot of them, right? Meditation, deep breathing exercises, progressive muscle relaxation. If you don't know what progressive muscle relaxation, it's literally going from the top of your body all the way down and relaxing my jaw, right? Relaxing my mouth, relaxing my neck, relaxing my shoulders, relaxing my arms, like going down the body and working through relaxing one thing at a time. This is something that I've had clients do right before bed that works well, this progressive relaxation. Breathing, when it comes to breathing, I'm going to give you a real-time strategy. Like, if you're in the middle of your day and your body's in fight or flight, you can use this strategy. It's called the cyclical sigh. Some people call it the physiological sigh. It is a deep, deep inhale through the nose, followed by a smaller inhale through the nose at the very top of that breath, followed by a very prolonged exhale through the mouth. And it kind of looks like this. So inhale through the nose, smaller inhale through the nose, long exhale through the mouth. But that exhale is as long as you can make it. And the reason for that is when you exhale through the mouth longer than you breathe in, it causes your heart rate to slow. So I'll say that again. When you breathe out longer than you breathe in, your heart rate slows, and this will bring you out of fight or flight. This is why this cyclical sigh is so much more effective than box breathing, than any other type of breath work that we're used to doing. It's because this is designed to actually pull you out of fight or flight. So if you get set off in the middle of your workday, use this technique. It's amazing. How I like to use it at night, if I am in a season of stress, or if I feel a lot of fear around something, or guilt or shame, I don't like the stress response in my body, what I will do is I will do 5 minutes of this cyclical sigh before bed. This is so helpful. And actually, there have been research studies that have shown that doing 5 minutes of this cyclical sigh, so doing the double inhale, exhale on repeat for 5 minutes, has been more effective at reducing overall around-the-clock stress than any other type of breathing or meditation. How cool is that, right? And it can be done in 5 minutes. So when I was going through a very high stress time right before our trip all through December, I was doing this 5 minutes of cyclical sigh before bed. And it is amazing how much it helps you really disengage from that stress state and help your body calm, because that's what we're looking for. We're just looking to pull out of fight or flight a little bit. Because like I said, the goal is not to eliminate stress. What we want is you to have the capacity to pull out of stress when you want to with tools you have on hand. That is the goal, right? So that cyclical sigh, really good. Some people like to meditate. If you like other breathing things, go for it. But I think it's really consciously being like, what am I doing to pull my body out of fight or flight? Actually answer that question. Am I doing anything, or am I just laying there feeling stressed out, wondering why I can't sleep, right? Another thing that will really help with this overall state of stress, especially leading into bed, is making sure that you're getting enough physical activity. And so I know sometimes it's hard being a parent and running a business, and kids have sports practices and all this stuff, and you just feel like you're running everywhere all the time. But getting that physical activity in there will help you so much better manage the demanding schedule that comes with being either a parent or an entrepreneur, right? And so physical activity can look for anything just like going for walks, 10-minute walk. It doesn't need to be this HIIT routine that's done 6 times a week for an hour. Like, you can just start with walking, right? And then as you get the hang of that, you start building in a little more intensity. Some people like to run, lift weights, do power yoga, something that really gets your body moving, because it is that little bit of intensity that you add in your day and that movement that can help reduce stress. And it affects your hormones in a way that help improve your sleep quality, right? So getting in exercise, layering that in, building it in one small 15 to 20 minute block at a time. We need to let go of the ideas that it needs to be this really long 1 to 2 hour thing in the gym, and it has to use weights, and it has to be like this. Like, go for a walk. Everybody can do it. It's free. Put on your shoes, go for a walk. Take your kids with you. We take our kids with us on at least one of our walks a day. You know what I mean? Like, these are all strategies that you can build in to really help with stress. Another one to help with stress is establishing a bedtime routine that includes calming activities that are meant to signal your body that it is time to wind down. So it's kind of going back to this idea of triggers, right? What are we going to do to trigger our body to be like, oh, it's bedtime, we're calming down. So I love to take a warm shower on nights that I have had a more stressful day. I like to leave a little bit more time to read. I've had clients that like to listen to soothing music. I've done sound baths, which are a type of kind of like a meditation meets music therapy. You'll just have to Google it to learn what it is. But a sound bath has been a wonderful way for me to help really disconnect at the end of the day. You can do a skincare treatment that feels luxurious and slow. You can do breath work. Like, what can you include in that time before bed that is not drowning out the stress of the day with screens and Instagram scrolling and YouTube and Netflix? Like, what can you do for yourself? Right? Like, how can we build these things in that make you feel better than you did before? Because for me, yes, Instagram makes stress go away in the moment, but I never feel better after. I feel worse sometimes. Same with TV. Like, I'm like zoned out, which is cool, but I don't feel better after it. So if you are struggling to get to sleep, and your brain is noisy and you're too stressed out to sleep, maybe consider swapping out some of your evening activities for activities that actually allow you to disconnect, to allow you to feel better. And for me, I always feel better after reading. I always feel better after a warm shower and some deep breathing and maybe 5 minutes of that cyclical sigh that we talked about. The last thing I'm going to give you here, I know it's an obvious one, but it's one of the biggest ones. It's get off of the screens and quiet the input. We might think that watching TV or YouTube or Instagram or TikTok is zoning out and it's like time we don't have to think, but it is actually input. Your brain is having to constantly decide, do I agree with this? Do I not? Do I keep scrolling? Do I get off? Do I like this account? Do I follow this account? Do I agree with this video? Do I want to start doing this? Like, your brain is having constant decisions and the input, and we already talked about the effects of the blue light from the screens on how it affects sleep quality during that night, which sets you behind the game tomorrow. So I really want you to start thinking, like, how can I start giving myself a little grace with the screen time before bed? So if you're literally on your phone right up until bed, which is common, it's not a thing to feel bad about. Like, I would say probably 80% of people are. What would it look like to give yourself 15 minutes with no input? No social media, no learning before bed. What would 15 minutes look like to give to yourself to actually feel better than you did before? Once you get the hang of that, you move it to 30 minutes. Once you get the hang of that, you start expanding it out. And for me and my family, we put our phones to bed and the TV to bed and electronics to bed usually 7:30 p.m. And we do not pick them up until the next morning. So keep in mind, we also go to bed at 9. So that's an hour and a half that I give myself before I go to sleep where there's no other input except spending time putting my kids to bed. I'm reading a nice fiction book. I'm spending time with my husband. I'm having a warm shower. I'm doing my skincare routine. I'm doing some breath work, maybe a sound bath. Like, I build that time in there because I recognize how much sleep has an effect on my health, right? And if you're starting to like, okay, well, what actually is a reasonable amount of time to fall asleep? Like, I've got all the hacks and the ideas and the things to try now, right? Well, sleep latency, meaning the time it takes you to fall asleep, the goal that I like to set is anywhere between 5 and 15 to 20 minutes. If it's taking you longer than 20 minutes to fall asleep, this is a really good opportunity to use a bunch of the strategies that we talked about today. If you're actually falling asleep in less than 5 minutes, you're probably not listening to this podcast, but it's actually a sign that you are exhausted and trained and drained and too tired. Like, falling asleep in 5 minutes or as soon as your head hits the pillow is not something that's like a win. It's actually a sign that you're probably too tired and you probably need more rest overall. So we're looking for that range of that 5 to 15, even up to 20 minutes, depending on the individual. On an average day, this is how long we want us to take after we turn the lights off till we fall asleep, right? And just really wrapping it up one more time, like, falling asleep is going to be critical for us in this range. If we're taking right now 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, it gets more time asleep, which helps with our brain, right? We get higher quality sleep because we're getting more time asleep. It helps with brain fog. Like, brain fog affects all areas of our life. We're clearer in our business and we are more productive. We have more energy during the day and it's sustained through the day. So you don't have to like designate time in your day for like brain dead tasks. And you're more present in your life and for your kids. Like, for me, that's the biggest difference I notice, is the better my sleep is, the less time in the evening I'm just wanting to zone out in the TV instead of spending time with them. And for me, that's a really important thing as well. Like, I'm not only a business owner, I am a mom and I am a wife, and I want to have the energy to do all of those things. And for me, that means getting really good sleep. And if I'm having trouble falling asleep, that's taking away from the time that I'm able to sleep, right? And when you get this right, this falling asleep and your brain is not keeping you awake, this is not to say this is going to be perfect forever. I find in my life, it ebbs and flows. And there are some times where I really need to redeploy these strategies. Like I was talking about back in December, I really had to get that cyclical side back in because I was dealing with a lot more. My nervous system was not coping as well. And so there are going to be times where you're going to have to deploy these strategies more in a disciplined fashion. And there are going to be other times where you're going to deploy them more liberally. And it'll be an ebb and a flow. And I think what it is the awareness and the consciousness of being like, oh, I get it. I'm in a space right now where I'm not falling asleep so much. Let me get my tool bag out and start applying. Or, hey, I'm good right now. I don't need as many of these tools, right? Because when you get this right, this falling asleep, and you know when to use the tools, you know how to use the tools, and you know what they are, you should notice an immediate boost in how well rested you feel. And you should also notice a significant increase in your physical and your mental health. Because sleep is the foundation on which everything else is built. Your health, your business, your job as a parent, your energy, right? It's the foundation. And in my program, Becoming Limitless, getting excellent sleep and high quality sleep and feeling very well rested is one of the main things that I do help 6- and 7-figure entrepreneurs figure out so that they aren't so foggy, right? So that they go from this place of feeling like they don't fully have control of their health and their energy to being in a place where they feel clear and energized and in peak performance, right? And in this program, I mean, we also work on things like, we work on food and meal planning and really understanding how to get consistent with healthy choices that optimize your clarity and your brain function, right? But we implement a regular exercise routine so that it helps you mitigate this stress, and we build resilience, and we do that with wearable tech, like an Oura ring, so that you can directly see that what you're doing is working, and we don't spend time working on things that aren't effective. So if working with me inside of Becoming Limitless is something that you are interested in, there is a link in the description of this episode that'll take you to the program page where you can learn about it. And you can either like apply through the program page on there, or you can reach out to me on Instagram. I'm at Tanessa Shears, and we can have a chat and see if it's a fit. It's really no pressure. It has to be something that works for both of us, but you are more than welcome to come and hang out in my world with a growing community of CEOs and entrepreneurs that are allocating some of their bandwidth to their health because they recognize how much of an effect it not only has on who they are and how they feel, but on their business as well. So I really hope this episode has given you clarity onto how you can quiet a noisy brain before bed, especially if you're too stressed to sleep, so that you can start feeling like, become limitless. That's the whole point of this, right? Like, we're just constantly working on what is that one next tiny level up? Who do you need to become in order to be the best version of yourself so that you can thrive in your business, thrive in your life, and not feel like you're constantly waiting for this next level to get to, this next stage in your business, then you can finally focus on your health. We realize as CEOs, as entrepreneurs, that we are in life right now. We are not waiting to live life, waiting to be healthy. It is happening now. And if I can't, for me, my business is not something I want to do if it is always at the expense of me and my energy and my health. My business is here to support my life, not the other way around. And so if that is something that resonates with you, just definitely reach out. I'm more than happy to share details on the program and what it looks like and how I can help and success stories from in the program. But otherwise, I hope you have a week where you are falling asleep within 20 minutes. And that sleep for you is high quality and luxurious, and you are waking up feeling the way you want to feel. I hope you have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Learn something new in this episode or feel inspired to take action? I'd love for you to share it with a friend and leave a review. Your review will help one more entrepreneur feel healthier, more energized, and focused. If you feel good about helping a friend or a fellow business owner you've never even met,
You are my kind of people. I'm excited to help you become limitless in the coming episodes.